You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Gina Versa from Waffle Press.
Hello.
And later on in the show, we'll have Brandon Cooley and Chris Patton to talk with us about the movie we are talking about today, and that is we are talking Thor Ragnarok. Yes.
Please play the Led Zeppelin song.
Yes, we're talking about the movie. We're talking about the movie that had probably the best teaser trailer of the year, and probably in recent memory. Yes. So, starting with Eugene, what do you think about Thor Ragnarok?
I loved Thor Ragnarok, much to my surprise, because I despise Thor the movie where Natalie Portman jokes about her cell phone as it plays a obnoxious ringtone right after Loki dies and Thor is in mourning, because that is totally how you show a balanced tone in your movies. But Thor, the first one's okay. You're rewatching it. It's not my favorite, but it's okay. But I enjoyed Ragnarok. It was a very ballsy movie. It definitely took the franchise where it should have been, maybe in the beginning, instead of setting it in home. I applaud the film for taking a lot of risks, and it really rewarded the audience. Killing off the Warriors 3, destroying Asgard, that's crazy that they would pitch that to Marvel, and it actually seems like it stuck, you know?
Yeah, well, was anyone really surprised the Warriors 3 died? Really?
With Zachary Levi, he's now Shazam, so, that kind of, that stuff.
Yeah, if you blink, you will miss Zachary Levi. That's how little he's in the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he literally just came on to die. Him and Ray Stevenson both just came on for a couple hours. I wouldn't even be surprised if they just filmed it in like a soundstage in Atlanta or Los Angeles. Right.
Yeah.
And just like, and then they just had like Cate Blanchett just killed him in like one swoop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is just like, yeah, they're just dead. But so with that said, we are going into spoilers on this movie, as we always do. Going to the Thor franchise for a little bit. Well, first of all, Marvel's never balanced humor and drama very well anyway. Yeah. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Spider-Man Homecoming did a really good job this year of kind of balance, but before that, it's always been, it's kind of been half measures when it comes to drama. So when they do kill off Loki in Thor: The Dark World, it's all, he comes back and like by the end of the movie, and it's supposed to be this big surprise, but it really defeats the whole arc of that character, the arc of Loki throughout the three movies he was in.
Yeah.
Because he really, you know, was this villain who was like, I want to be, I'm an outsider of my own family. He rebels against it.
Yeah.
And he rebels against it to try and impress his father. And in impressing his father, he gets, basically disowned. And now he's trying to create his own world on Earth with the Chitauri and the Avengers. And then in Thor the Dark World, he's captured. He's in, imprisonment for eternity. Mm-hmm. And then he dies sacrificing his brother. That would have been a really good arc. For him to done that. But no, we got to have Loki, disguised as Odin, eating grapes and being kind of a rich, spoiled king. That's just very, very loose. And says, oh shit, when his brother shows up.
Right.
But beside all that, Thor Ragnarok is a really fun movie that I think it's a lot of fun. And if you're, and it really should have been, it's a little kind of too late, too late to at this point to have done this kind of movie at this point in the franchise or in the Thor verse, yeah. I think. But yeah, it's a fun movie and it's a great movie. I'll get to the majority of my problems in a second, but I thought this film, to kind of sum it up in a nutshell, my problems with Thor is that pacing wise and fluidly wise, it doesn't balance everything as well as it should have. Like the whole point of the movie, and I get what Taika Waititi wanted to do. He just wanted to make a jokey, funny movie. I get that. That's fun and all. But when you're having scenes like Odin dying, like Odin in Norway, finally passing away, or when you have the Warriors 3 get axed off, and it's all like done in within seconds.
Right.
When it's done that quickly, it's like, why have this all at all? Why have it all in there if you're just going to like rush to it just to get to your jokes?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess that's his style.
Right. And I get it's a style, but I thought.
I mean, but it wasn't as bad as previous films. Let's, take that in perspective.
What do you mean previous films? Thor's or Taika Waititi's?
Oh, previous Thor films, like, the Loki scene I told you about earlier.
Oh, yeah. I agree, but the thing about the Loki death scene is at least that's given, time to mourn and there's time to, there's at least Thor and Loki having a final moment.
Right.
Whereas when they get to Norway after, having a fun little 2 minutes with Doctor Strange, it's like, oh, we're in Norway and we're really sad. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, Kate Blanchett, you showed up.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the movie's just like rushing to get through because I hate to break everyone's hearts because I know our mutual friend Diego Crespo really does like Thor, but this movie does not care about the first two movies at all.
Pretty much. I mean, they kind of mock it with that fake play, or excuse me, that play. Loki is watching, so you kind of. See their opinion on the last movie, very discreetly. But I mean, it wasn't that good. So you blame them,
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah.
The second one's fine. It does have the problems of exposition. We get to hear about the Aether twice, and And then of course, you know, they have to rip it and they have to rip it out of Jane Foster. That's a very weird thing to be in a movie. We have to rip it out of Jane Foster.
Yeah.
It's an odd thing to be in there. And then of course, you know, you have one of the, is Christopher Eccleston one of the Doctor Who's?
Yeah, he's a Doctor Who.
It's weird you have this, you know, acclaimed British actor in a villain role and he has nothing to do, and you don't even remember him.
Yeah.
You don't even remember him as a villain. Like, it really could have been just a stuntman playing the part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, but yeah, it's Thor the Dark World has its faults, and as we saw later in 2015, the director of Thor the Dark World, you know, we saw his reboot of Terminator, and we all thought that was going to be, and we all thought that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We all thought that was an amazing movie, an A-plus movie.
Well, I never liked it.
So. Oh, you like it?
No, I said I never liked it.
Okay. It's an odd. But going back to Thor Ragnarok, I love the visual style of the movie. I love the acting. I really do like a lot of the movie. It's just, it's not in the grand. I think the problem with a lot of these, you know, movies that everyone loves, a lot of these comic book movies like Wonder Woman and now this, is that we had a really great year of comic book movies with Logan, and I'll even throw in the Lego Batman movie as just a great film that kind of, you know, transcended, you know, all the tropes of Batman, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is just, you know, emotional, beautifully colored, beautifully, you know, designed Thor Guardians of the Galaxy movie and just very well written.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spider-Man Homecoming actually finds a way to explore Spider-Man in a way that the Raimi and Mark Webb movies never did. And then we get to, you know, Wonder Woman and Thor, where they're like, in a normal year, these movies would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
But because we've had so many other great comic book movies that transcended the comic book tropes.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just good. You did a good movie. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You made a good movie.
Right.
But these other movies are fantastic.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of just where I'm going at, is it's a really good movie, but it's stuck in a great year of comic book movies.
Yeah.
And I really like it. I really like it. I really like it. I like the design. I like a lot of the things in it. It's just, at the end of the day, I was just like, this was good, not great.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Excited for Taika Waititi's Akira, though.
Of course. I love Akira. Anime is amazing.
Well, I'm excited because the design of Planet Hulk is so, like, inspired by anime and manga that, you know, it's like, did Warner Brothers get, like, a sneak peek of Thor Ragnarok and just said, oh, this is exactly what we want?
Maybe.
I like a lot of this. Gene, why don't you? Do you have any thoughts? Other thoughts on Thor Ragnarok? While I try and put mine together.
Puts all the other Thor films to shame. I think it did hurt a little bit by being released in such a comic book saturated year, but I think it stood out enough to made me you know differentiate it enough from the other comic book films. I didn't mind. But, I think this is the best Thor film. It's kind of a little bit of a low bar, but, you know, for people that don't like the Thor movies, I guess this is the film for you, like me.
Yeah, but in a way, this is, more, this is more, this is more tolerable than the others, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I think we have to address Tressa Thompson's character in the movie Valkyrie. Sure. I really love the character. And this is one of the reasons why I really do like this movie, is that she doesn't become the Jane Foster character in this movie. She has her own agency. She has her own arc. She cares about everything that's happening. She has to earn, she has to kind of earn her like way to, she has to earn Asgard. Like, what?
She has to like earn her way back to Asgard.
Yeah, she has to earn her want to be back at Asgard. Mm. She has to see for herself that for if she doesn't help Thor and Loki and Hulk. Yeah. Right. And
yeah, she's not a love interest too, so.
Yeah, I don't want to say she's just there, but she's a part of the team. She is just about agent. She has a lot of agency, and she's not like the person that she's not going to sleep with everyone on the ship, on the team.
Right.
And that's what I really liked about this character, is that she's her own being, and she can handle anything if necessary. Yeah. I think Tessa Thompson did a fantastic job. She's been hitting it out of the park after her breakout role in Creed.
Yep. Yeah, she's everything she's been in has been
Westworld.
What's that? Oh shit,
she was in Westworld.
That's right. Damn it. Forgot about that. Yeah, everything she has been doing has been consistently great, so yeah, it was cool to see her in like a weird Asgardian film, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even like Cate Blanchett, she's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And the movie does give her like an art or like a reason to be there. She's not there to blow up the world.
She's one of the better Marvel villains, I would say.
Yeah.
Marvel villains tend to get crapped on a lot, so.
And just, what's interesting about this movie, we open the movie with Mr. Krabs as an evil fire god or something.
Who's also Parallax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we open, and that's the typical Marvel villain, is just, I want to wreck the world, and I want to cause havoc.
And, it's like,
and the movie just treats it, and the movie treats that villain like, just whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a plot device, but it's also kind of having this attitude of like, oh, we're not doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's a good way to, say like, no, Hela is not going to be that character. And she isn't, she's written as this person as she, she was a firstborn, and she's basically part of a cover up that her dad wanted to, she's part of the cover up that her dad wanted. Her dad wanted to cover up her past, the past of Asgard and the dirty history of it.
Yeah.
And for me, that's a more interesting, idea of a character, someone who's just like, has been oppressed by her, by a force for so long, and now they're trying to take back their world.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to take back what was theirs. And and that's a more, and so I found that more interesting to me than Mr. Krabs taking out, causing havoc with his fire-breathing army.
Right.
And I say Mr. Krabs because it's played by
Clancy Brown.
Yeah. And I know Clancy Brown's been in more things than SpongeBob. It's just, it's really funny to say that Thor and that Mr. Krabs is the villain in Thor Ragnarok, or one of the villains in Thor Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what's even weird about this movie, and this is a massive spoiler, is it you know, it throws away that, or it twists that trope of, well, we got to stop the person from destroying the world. Because the ultimate way they defeat Hela long enough for them to get away from Asgard is to have, I can't remember what the guy, what Clancy Brown's character's name, but
Surtur.
Is that it? Surtur?
Mm-hmm.
Have Surtur come back to life, grow as a mountain, and destroy Asgard.
Yeah, it's, you know, they win by kind of inaction in a way, where they just let it happen, but they, you know, realize that, you know, some things are inevitable, but it's just kind of, yeah, it's a very interesting third act, you know, the fact they win by not doing anything, you know?
Yeah, and it is, and it's really even more interesting that instead of, like, feeling remorse for the planet, or, I guess, Asgard being destroyed, you have, like, Korg. You have Korg over there, like, well, at least you have the foundation and the structural, and then...
Yeah, pretty much. Korg is also the MVP of that movie.
He is. He's really funny.
Right.
Like, great job, Taika Waititi, for voicing that character. But yeah, in it's a really interesting movie. It's just, I don't think the sum of the building blocks to getting there all works all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not as emotionally there. It doesn't work emotionally to get up to those building blocks. Like, yes, seeing Asgard get blown up, like, I know for a lot of people will be emotionally devastating, and I mean, you're seeing a planet destroyed, but as Thor points out, it's the people that matters. It's the culture, the people that make Asgard, not the land. So as long as that survives, then Asgard's, you know, memories and culture will live on as well.
Yeah, of course.
So what else can we say about Thor? Because I don't really want to predict any more of these Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. I feel like I do that with every, like, what do we want out of another Marvel movie? I feel like we do that every, I feel like I do that every episode, every time we do one of these.
Yeah.
So do we have any more, do you have any more thoughts on Thor before we move on?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So, Gene, go ahead and do your plugins, and then we'll go from there to Brandon and Chris. And then I'll put everything in the, and then for you, the listeners, I'll put everything in the description of this episode that Gene is plugging in.
Okay. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Gene9892, and look for Waffle Press, Twitter, Facebook, on YouTube as well. And subscribe.
Yes. It's really good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. All right. And we'll be back. We'll be back with everyone in just a couple minutes. Thanks, Gene.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm now joined with Chris Patton.
I like Thor Ragnarok, and you should see it too, everybody. Good night.
And I'm here in Brandon Cooley.
Hey, everyone.
All right. So,
I like Chris, the part where the Rock Man said the funny Kiwi things.
Korg.
Yeah, and I like the part where Jamie Alexander wasn't in it, and that pissed me off. I like the part where Loki was super still scared of Hulk. I like the part where Thor's hair got cut short by Stan Lee. I like the part
Chris,
Kale told me to stop.
Chris, if you do this, we're going to be here all night.
I like the part
Brandon
didn't like the movie.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, wait.
No, I didn't say that. Yeah.
Brandon, what do you think of the movie?
Okay, so I keep saying this, but it's like a good movie and a bad movie collided into one.
And it's super amazing.
And I'm not sure what to think about it. Like, I love Planet Goldblum, and I don't like Planet Blanchett. That's the way I put it. That's my opinion. I love the Gladiator planet. I love everything about it. And I hate Planet Hulk. I love that. I hate everything about the, what's that place called?
Asgard.
Spoiler alert. You don't have to worry about Asgard for much longer.
Yes, that's true.
For more than 2 seconds.
The least interesting part of the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, the parts with Kate Blanchett as the villain were boring. I mean, there was nothing interesting about it. And the parts with Jeff Goldblum were awesome. I mean, it was just interesting because it's like, I wish they would have made a remake of Gladiator and just had that be the whole plot of them trying to get away from that planet, you know?
Like, which is funny because you'd be like, no, stay. I want to see
yeah,
more.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're actively rooting for the villains at that point to keep them trapped.
Even though it's a massive misunderstanding to keep that keeps them there. Anyway, so yeah, we're talking Thor Ragnarok, and Brandon, I kind of want you to explain to us what you mean that a good movie and a bad movie collided.
I think you just said it.
I just did, yeah. Planet Gold.
You like the parts on the weird planet, you didn't like the parts on the less weird planet.
Say that again, Kale.
What kind of a bad movie are you talking about here? Like, are we talking like a funny bad, or are we talking like a boring bad?
Boring bad. I mean, Jenkins and releasing her to take over Asgard. Boring, boring, boring. I mean,
well, Brandon, you're the one on this podcast that hasn't seen the first two movies.
Right? I haven't seen the first two. No.
You're not missing much if you didn't like Asgard at all.
Exactly. I never wanted to watch the first two because it looked boring. I mean, I watched this one because,
super funny because, wait, you haven't seen the first two.
I haven't seen the first two, no.
So you don't even know that, like, the three of Thor's buddies from the first two movies get killed off so unceremoniously in the weirdest fashion. Yeah.
I could tell they were friends, so I couldn't care less.
Well, they stuck out, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy with the army at the end gets like a fitting farewell, but the two guys just like are there, and Hela's like, "Hey guys," and I'm like, "Who are you?" Stab, stab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, "Oh, they're dead."
And Lady Sif is, like Chris said, is nowhere to be found. I guess she was too busy working on that TV show for NBC. Whatever.
Well, that's the truth of it. Is that the scheduling didn't work out for the filming. But they still acknowledge her character's existence in the play, you know, like a girl like pretend like runs off or what, like, or like pretending to be Sif in the play, which Matt Damon and Sam Neill are a part of inexplicably. Let's not talk about that.
Oh, is Sam?
Let's
Neill
actually not talk about Matt Damon and Sam Neill being there for no reason. But yeah, so like Sif is like, she could still come back in a later movie. And just be like, oh, it's almost exactly like Hawkeye in Winter Soldier, you know, like Hawkeye should have been in Winter Soldier because he's a SHIELD agent and that movie's about SHIELD. And there goes Brandon. But you know, he's dozing off. You guys can't see it, but Brandon just fell backwards. I thought he just like passed out. But
4 hours,
you know, Hawkeye's a SHIELD agent. And Winter Soldier's all about S.H.I.E.L.D. being like kablooey and gonzos. So you think that like Hawkeye should have been a part of that, but he was just off somewhere. And they don't really care to talk about where. So I just figure the same thing. So I'm like, I like Sif enough. She's a character in the other two movies, Brandon. And I'm like, well, she wasn't part of the massacre that killed Thor's other friends. So in my heart, in my mind, that means she's still out there and alive to do something later. So yeah. I like the part where Loki got super excited that Thor beat the shit out of Hulk beat the shit out of Thor the same way Hulk beat the shit out of Loki in Avengers. And Loki's like, yeah, that's how it feels, idiot. It sucks.
Why was
there's a lot of references to the Avengers movies.
Doctor Strange was there because Thor needs someone else to recruit in Infinity War.
I mean, that was a year ago exactly when I saw that one. And I didn't like Doctor Strange at all. I mean, that was kind of like a unwelcome guest appearance by like a movie that like,
yeah, and he's in and out. Like that's the thing. Actually, well, that's my it's whole kind problem of fitting for his beginning.
Character because it's kind of fitting for his character in a way. Like it's there strictly so that Thor and Loki meet Doctor Strange prior to Infinity War, so that Doctor Strange can be like when the Thanos crap happens, they're like, who can we get? And Thor's like, I know a wizard man in New York. We'll grab his ass and help out or whatever.
Well, they'll probably introduce Doctor Strange because he has an Infinity Stone.
Well, that too. Like, you know, Thanos is going to want that goodness. So Strange will get involved no matter what. But I kind of liked it because it's like, well, Loki banishes Odin to New York to live in a rest home. And that's in the same neighborhood as Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange is like, okay, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we're looking for my dad. And he's like, is that it? Loki's here. He did some bad stuff. And he's like, eh. And he's like, okay, you guys just do it and leave. So it kind of makes sense that he'd be like watching shit and making sure like crap doesn't go down, you know? So if Loki, he's like, Loki's here. What's this all about? And he has him fall for 30 minutes.
It's just fascinating because the movie starts off with an awesome opening shot and a pretty funny scene to begin with him fighting the fire monster from Lord of the Rings. You know, I mean, I like that. Yeah. And then the next 20 minutes is just so boring. I mean, it goes from being very, so good to so bad, like just back and forth. Like, and most of it has
that opening scene with the dragon and the hellscape world. That was like an 80s album cover right there.
Yeah.
Like a metal album cover.
Yeah, but then he comes back and Loki's impersonating the Anthony Hopkins and they go find
Doctor Strange.
It's like, oh, just move on. You know, just, I don't know.
It felt a bit weird. And I remember I knew that was probably going to happen based on the trailers being all over the place. And I was like, well, I know Doctor Strange has to show up at some point because there was a post-credit scene in Doctor Strange where he talked to Thor, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's, yeah.
I forgot.
But it was a very roundabout way of being like, okay, your sister wants to blow up. Your sister wants to take over Asgard. Bye. And he disappears into golden dust.
Mm-hmm.
But man, we get to that planet and then Hulk's there and the Rock Man's there.
Jeff Goldblum is there and he's kind of like,
there's a bug with scissors for hands and it's awesome.
It is like the whole like Planet Hulk is really cool and it's really very visually well done. Like I think a year ago we had these complaints about Marvel having a very sterile gray look to it or a very concrete look to it. This year they really came out with all their colors and I think this is the best use of color.
Guardians and Thor both use a good color palette. Spider-Man's more of the same, but like, yeah, the Spacebound stuff recently has been like super colorful. So,
I mean, even that opening scene you were talking about, Chris, looks fantastic. Like when Thor is flying out.
Brandon was talking about the opening scene. Oh. He's the one who brought it.
I mentioned it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's like, one of you two brought it up. And you guys, and I mean, that whole scene of the dragon, you know, chasing Thor, I mean, it looked incredible. And actually, all the action scenes looked incredible. Like whenever they go into action mode, it does have a cartoon look that a lot of the Marvel movies have had, but still, it looks so good with like the contrast of color when it goes from dark blue or dark green or dark yellow. It looks really good. Like
I would say, some fight scenes didn't look very good. Like the final battle was kind of weak. I didn't care what was going on in the final battle. Maybe that's why, but it wasn't visually appealing in any way. There was some stuff that, like, I think all of the battle scenes, like the Hulk battle, the Thor versus Hulk was really well done, and the first opening scene was well done. For me, it was half and half. It had some good moments in terms of action.
Yeah, the only real issues I have with the movie is, you know, very much the beginning, like when we go to Earth and they get stuck in. And when we meet Doctor Strange for all of 2 or 3 minutes, and then we go to Norway and have what's supposed to be as I'm doing air quotes, an emotional scene between the father and two brothers or two sons. And it just goes by so quick. Like, it's just like, it feels like the movie's like in a rush to get through all of this emotional scene so it can just get to the jokes. And that's kind of where I have a problem with Thor, you know, Thor Ragnarok is, it is so excited to get into the humor and to the fantasy of the Thor movies, what these movies should have been, that it's just like, fuck it. I don't want any drama. Let's even get the character exposition and get Hela's backstory. Let's get it all just out of the way as quick as possible, because so we can just get to the jokes.
But should there be any drama to begin with, really? I mean, it's like, do we really care that much about like these characters?
I mean, I understand people not giving a fuck about the Thor movies,
but it's
people
funny
to give a fuck.
The thing is, well, it's a weird thing, Brandon, because, you know, we have the two prior Thor movies, and obviously the Avengers movies Thor was a part of didn't really delve into his world expansion at all, other than Loki being the bad guy in the first movie. But you have in Ragnarok, and I get it because it's, and again, spoilers, well, we're past spoilers, but, you know, Ragnarok is like, oh, Asgard gets blown up, you know, like literally just destroyed. It is gone. And they do the whole, like, it's more about saving the people thing, which always appreciate that in the movie, because you got to blow up an entire, like, planet thing, right? Mm-hmm. Which would Zack Snyder is, like, fainting thinking about, right? Like, just being able to blow up an entire civilization.
He's in a theater just like, ugh.
But Thor, the movie Thor, takes it, like, in a way that it's like, well, yeah, let's focus on saving everybody. It's like,
still, that's like, a pretty bad line. That's a pretty bad line. It's not a place, it's a people. And it's like, don't say that. Like,
well, as someone who's actually seen, Chris and I have, I think, seen all three movies, Asgard is just not that interesting of a place. And the movies don't really look good enough.
I like the design of it. But I like how Thor, I don't know. I thought it'd be more. Hulk references the fact where he's like, oh, I thought it'd be more. I think, like the director,
Taika Waititi.
The point I was going to make was, with the other two movies, you know, the whole it pulls from Norse mythology and the nine realms, and you have all these cool places like the hellscape at the beginning of this movie, and you know, you can do like a bunch of stuff. And they never really do anything with it. You know, there's not really like a whole, like there's a land of the dead. There's like a hellscape world. There's a land of the dwarves or something. Like it's all like mythology stuff, right? And Asgard's one of them. Earth's one of them. The nine realms, right? So, But the two movies don't, like Thor is Asgard and New Mexico. Thor 2 is London, Asgard, and green and brown planet.
And the
Dark World.
And the place where the first battle in part two takes place, wherever that is.
I thought that was, the Dark World or whatever. They really kind of squandered that, and they made up for it in this movie. But even then, they don't even explore the nine realms of the Thor mythology. They go to Junk Planet. That's not one of the nine realms, but it's a neat place to go to.
And it has a devil's anus.
Yeah.
What's with that joke? That was an odd joke to put in the movie. That's
the devil's anus. Because I need
anus.
It's silly. They want to say we got to go through the devil's anus to get out of here.
Well, it's like some of the jokes were really funny, but others.
The joke is that you stuff stuff in your butt to sneak in and out of places, right? So they had to go through the butt to get out.
But I mean, like some of the jokes were really funny, but it's like they were throwing everything they could at the wall to see what would stick. And some of the jokes were not very good. Like it was so odd the way that it was written. Like I think they were trying to go for the Guardians of the Galaxy feel.
Yeah, but you can see like Rocket saying the devil's anus or something.
It's just as great in Alien Covenant. You blow here and I'll play the flute or whatever that joke is.
That's the best line in the movie.
So
and I'll do the fingering. You blow and I'll do the fingering.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say the Ragnarok is like the destruction of Asgard. Thor Ragnarok the movie is the destruction and erasure of pretty much anything that the Thor movies have borne into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like
which was very little.
You get rid of Asgard itself. Okay, so there's no more Asgard, so no reason to go back there ever again. You get rid of Thor's three buddies, which, man, I guess Thor figures that out after the movie's over, and he's looking, and he's like, hey, where's my buddies? The Warriors Three that I had all those grand adventures with. And he sees they're not there and has a sad moment off off camera.
Heimdall just tells him in private.
I don't know. I thought that was weird. Like, Thor doesn't ever figure that out. You wouldn't even know they knew each other if you didn't see the two movies, right, Brandon? Did you know those three guys knew Thor and were his longtime best friends from childhood?
No, I didn't.
I'm just so glad.
Childhood friends.
I'm just so glad Zachary Levi now has Shazam.
Oh yeah, good for him. Who cares? So, but I don't give a crap about Shazam. But yeah, and you know, Odin dies. Odin's like, peace out. So there's no more outside of like Thor and Loki and maybe Sif, who's missing in action. The Thor's other friend, the lady Jamie Alexander,
and then Jane and her.
Jane gets written out too. Like, Jane is like, we broke up.
Now Jane's no longer part of it. Brandon, Natalie Portman gets written out of Thor.
Yeah, Thor's love interest in the first two movies is not in this movie. So, but the they did you remember before they see Doctor Strange and Loki falls through the hole? Someone asks, is like, oh, is Jane here? And he's like, no, we broke up, or we broke up mutually, or whatever. The one he was talking about mutually breaking up with was
she dumped him.
Natalie Portman's character from the first two Thor movies. Darcy, who is Jane's buddy in Thor 1 and 2.
And then still in Skarsgård.
Yeah, which I think he's in the next Avengers, so he's like still there. But it's like the movie Ragnarok really did just destroy everything about the Thor side of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, the thing is,
nothing is left outside of Thor and Loki. Thor and Loki are like the only things left.
I mean, at least Marvel has the consensus that most of the MCU community does not give a shit about these three movies, or the first two movies, I should say. And that's what they did. They just really concentrated on what worked in the Thor movies and just made a movie around them. Because I don't blame them. I mean, no one really, they kind of botched Thor because he's such an all-powerful person that it's so hard to make him interesting. And then the second movie just feels like someone screwed up in the process and they had to fix it halfway through. So it just kind of so this franchise has always kind of been the, the thing that's always, the thing that kind of hinders their back. So I'm glad that, they just kind of got rid of everything in. And I'm actually willing to bet, and this is another spoiler, Infinity War pretty much kills every Asgardian. Like, Thanos shows up in a ship, he blasts the shit out of the Asgardian ship, killing everybody. And that's how we get like the opening of Thor landing on the ship of the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's just flying out and he's like, and he lands on their ship. That's what I think
will happen. That seems really, really cheap to make the point of like saving everybody at the end of it. And then they got all blown up at the beginning of the next movie.
I'm going to get some food. I'll come back for when we're wrapping it up. Like, when the final thoughts, I'm hungry. So, but go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
We're going to talk about the Infinity. Brandon, we're going to talk about the Infinity. Okay. He's gone.
What did you want to talk about, Infinity?
I was just saying that with it, I don't think they're going to kill the Asgardians. I know the post-credits scene, one of them in Ragnarok, was showing the mysterious large ship that dwarfs their little cargo ship at the end of the movie that has all the Asgardians on it. And they're going, they are en route to Earth, kind of, but then they get interrupted and the ship is in the way.
Thanos' ship. I think
they confirmed that that's the Thanos ship.
Has his face emboldened on it.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell because the theater I went to, they turned the lights on the second it said directed by Taika Waititi.
Oh, like, that's the lights
went full blast the second the credits began. So I couldn't really make out the scene. I just saw it was a bigger ship. So I didn't really see, I couldn't really make out the fine details. Like, I could barely tell Thor and Loki were talking to each other.
Oh, okay.
So I had to look it up later, and I was like, I was thinking like, well, Infinity War is next, so it has to be Thanos related, right? And I was like, I mean,
Black Panther is the next movie, but yeah, that's the next.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, the Infinity War, like for Thor, is the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the leaked Infinity War trailer, and Loki hands over the Tesseract. So I'm like, yeah, so he took it, right? So.
Oh yeah, did that trailer have the Thor's gouged eye?
No, they probably. They either did two takes because they knew people hadn't seen Ragnarok yet and they wanted to keep the eye thing, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or they just did some digital whatever and they're going to digitally do it again or something. I don't know. Like, it's just like one of those things where it's like, yeah, they just did a different take. Like, didn't have Spider-Man in the shot of Civil War in the trailers, but he's in the lineup during the charge of the two teams. And then, there's that shot in the Thor Ragnarok trailer that's not in the movie with the four of them standing shoulder to shoulder and Hela's at the other side of the bridge, right? Of like the Hulk, Loki, Valkyrie, and Loki facing off against Hela. You don't get that moment here. No one really fights Hela in this movie other than Thor. Which, again, big missed opportunity. They set up the whole Valkyrie and Hela having a pseudo history.
Well, they did actually fight each other. It's just towards the end with Thor.
Yeah, but they don't really have a one-on-one, which I kind of wanted, but you know.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get what they were doing in that, like, okay, she's kind of too powerful. Let's just blow her up, right?
Let's just have Ragnarok kill her. Or defeat her long enough for us.
But could have still had the fight in it end where it's like, no, she's still too strong or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think by that point, the movie needed to end.
Yeah, it's still a fun movie, but I just feel that, like, you know, you kind of denied Valkyrie that moment.
To be fair, she's in the next movie, and I'm willing to bet we're not done.
She has to be in Infinity War. I didn't even think about it, but yeah, she has to be at some capacity.
Yeah, I think we're not done with Hela yet.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, you could totally write it around like some shenanigans, and it's like, because everyone's theory, and I thought it made the most sense, is that from the comics, and they make reference to it in the first Avengers movie, is that Thanos wants to court death itself. And death is personified, and he's trying to woo death by like being like master of the universe or some crap.
And in the comics, isn't death Hela anyway?
No, because comics are stupid big with their character rosters. Lady Death, the personification of death, and Hela, the goddess of death, are two separate people. So it makes sense to a lot of people, myself included, that you would want to tie those two characters together. And just make them the one character, because you're kind of in the same territory here, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, after this movie, I thought Hela was interesting enough. Like, she was just kind of, again, just, it's my right, you know? Like, I had ambitions, and I was denied those ambitions, and I want to do that thing. It's kind of generic, but, like, it was serviceable. But again, like, if she got an expanded role, you know, and was kind of side by side with Thanos, I'd be like, yeah, that's neat. But honestly, I'm like, because again, it's weird that if they do the Lady Death thing in Infinity War, then it's going to be the same thing like the comics where you're like, okay, really? These two are literally almost similar, too similar, right?
Right.
And so because it gets too crowded, right? You have too many characters that are the same. Oh, hey, Brandon, you didn't miss much.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to Infinity War. Oh, and then he's gone again. So I'm looking forward to Infinity War. It's shaping up to be a fun movie again. And honestly, I was thinking about it now, but in terms of like characters that might get killed off in Infinity War, I honestly don't think that Thor is going to die. Like, if anything, Thor is going to survive Infinity War, and there's going to be a Thor 4, right? Like, now that you've done Ragnarok this way, now's the time to be like, okay, now the fourth Thor movie is going to be more like Ragnarok and less like Thor 1 and 2. Like, because now it's like, it's kind of, it's almost like Logan, where it's like Logan ended the Wolverine story for Hugh Jackman. But at the same time, I'm kind of upset that this wasn't like, it wasn't, the other Wolverine movies weren't like Logan, right?
Right.
Where I'm like, no, but I want more. Dang it.
Yeah, but at least Logan is so great that it doesn't really matter what the other two movies are.
Yeah, it doesn't need. Yeah, it's like, but again, it's like if Logan was the ending of a Wolverine trilogy of movies, of which were stylistically like this was Logan 3, then you'd be like, man, Logan 3 was awesome, wasn't it, guys? Like, that was a strong ass third movie that stood on its own, right?
Yeah.
Which it still is. It still is that. It's just that it's a shame that the other two movies couldn't have been more like it. So it's kind of in the same boat for me as Thor with Ragnarok, where I'm like, yeah, Thor's not going to die. Thor's going to get a fourth movie, because ain't no way Tony Stark is going to be, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Iron Man for an Iron Man 4. And there's no way that Chris Evans is going to be Cap for a fourth Captain America movie. That's not happening. There is going to be a fourth Thor movie with Chris Hemsworth, though.
That's your prediction?
I'm saying that's 100% what is going to happen. That's not even prediction. That is ascending prediction into, I'm making that a reality with my thoughts.
Okay.
That's got to happen, because now it's like, it's too, yeah.
All right, cool.
Or they just cut out the middleman and Thor's just a guardian at the end of the movie and he just is in the Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Might as well at this point.
I mean, just and leave the Asgardians on some other, in Norway.
Dang it. Yeah, he's got the whole king thing going on. Mm.
Yeah, because I think Loki's going to die in like the first 10 minutes.
Of Infinity War?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't think so. Loki's going to be like the one who saves everybody's ass or something.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, that could be interesting. The only reason why I say he could die is because he wronged Thanos. Like, he used his, you know, he used.
Oh, he's going to turn again and he's going to give Thanos the Tesseract and be like, hey, look, it took a while, but I did it, because that's what he was originally hired to do, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't. That'd be weird if Thanos is just like, yeah, sure, whatever, kid. And then they go about their business. But yeah, so do we have any more to say on Thor Ragnarok? I liked Valkyrie and I liked the supporting cast, and I liked Hulk being in it. It's just, this one was a much more just like, it was just weaker than the last two Marvel movies that we got. Like Brandon said, it's a.
Or like last Brandon two, said, Spider-Man and Guardians.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was weaker. Yeah.
Like what Brandon, and really Brandon actually kind of summed up my thoughts as well. It kind of is just a boring movie, or not a very well told story mixed with this awesome story about Planet Hulk. Like that's really what it is for me. I like the Planet Hulk stuff a lot more, because the thing is, we don't get that much of Hela, and when we do, it's very, I get what her motive is, and it's not just I want to blow up a planet, I want to lead a civilization. It's just,
yeah, I was thinking about it. At the end of the day, a planet got blown up, but your primary villain wasn't wanting that. She wanted to just be like, nah, I'll take over.
Yeah,
and that's, she didn't want to kill anybody. Like, she spares Carl Urban because he like kneels like the first second, and she's like, ah, you're smart, you're pretty cool. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if Hela showed back up and you did more with her to flesh her out. If Sif is still out there, I want a Sif and Valkyrie movie.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And I mean, I think even the actresses have been wanting that too, like a movie where it's just all like an all female Avengers just teaming up to fight some villain. Yeah, I think that could work.
They learn to join together and be a team.
Yep. Directed by Joss Whedon.
They'll defeat Thanos by learning how to be a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Thor Ragnarok. I think it's a fun movie. but in the B movie kind of way, you know, like it's a fun, it's like it captures like a fun B movie type thing. But again, it's like, again, with the, like, you know, you're half on Asgard, half on Sakaar. It's kind of like, it's like the movie itself. It, like, again, like going back to what I'm saying, where the movie's trying to destroy, actively out of its way, trying to kill off and destroy anything that has to do with the other Thor movies. It's like, it's turn. It's like we're watching a movie transforming from like a stylistically similar Thor movie into something else. Like it's going through like a weird metamorphosis before our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like half, it's got its 1 foot in the water and 1 foot out, you know?
Right.
But overall I thought it was pretty solid, and overall it was a strong, fun B movie. But I did like Spider-Man and Guardians 2 a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. So Brandon, do you have any more thoughts?
Not really. I mean, I kind of gave my 2 cents in the, opening. Yeah, now as it goes, the last two Marvel movies, probably a slightly better than Doctor Strange, I would say.
Oh yeah, this was better than Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I saw Doctor Strange again over the summer and I just liked it even less. I think it's a fine movie. It's just,
I actually liked it more the second time I watched it. I liked it a little more.
I don't know. It just does nothing for me.
And I don't want to watch it again. So,
and even watching this clip, I still felt nothing out of Doctor Strange. I don't know why. I can't describe it. I just don't feel anything for the character.
Yeah.
I think I feel less for him than I do Thor or Ant-Man. So I don't know. It's just odd. But we'll get to Doctor Strange more when we get to the entire Avengers lineup in Infinity War.
Well, I don't think it's going to be everybody. Like Ant-Man's not in it.
It'll be mostly everybody. We'll probably still have to wait to see Captain Marvel in it, but yeah. So I think we're done on Thor Ragnarok. Like we mentioned in the Stranger Things episode, you guys don't have any social media plugins, right? I feel like I have to ask this every time, just in case. It's just nice to ask. Nope.
You can find us here on the podcast talking about Thor, the Thor movie podcast, where each episode we talk about Thor and nothing but Thor.
Or in a couple of weeks when we talk about Justice League.
Man, Chris Hemsworth was having a time of his life making this movie. You could tell. You could tell he was yucking it up between every take and just having a good old time.
And they shot it in his home country.
Yeah.
Or native country, Australia. Yeah, I think, he was having a blast. And he's actually kind of interesting in this movie. Unlike the other two movies. So with that said,
well, he did actually get an arc over the course of the five movies he was in. Mm-hmm. So that was nice, at least. So,
yeah.
And I thought that was a good moment for Loki, too, where Loki just is, he's still around. You know, there's always some kind of like separation between Thor and Loki at the end of each movie they're in together, you know. But at the end, like Loki's just standing next to the throne like, yeah, I'm OK with this.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's a good arc for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Although Loki's going to turn tail immediately in Infinity War and join on Thanos' side, undoing that again, but whatever.
Yeah. We'll wait to see Infinity War Part 1.
Loki betrays everyone again this time.
Oh, no. Such a new and interesting conflict. Yeah.
Loki's going to be like, here, take it.
Yeah. All right. So
maybe you're right. Maybe Loki hands it over and Thanos is like, thanks, and clubs him over the head with it and bashes his skull in. And Thor's like looking like, oh, no. And like it just looks over and there's just a bloody pulp of where Loki's face used to be.
And then everyone screams, like Valkyrie starts screaming. Hulk like, starts screaming.
Oh, my God. You know what I thought? So Korg is going to die in like the first 10 minutes of Infinity War. Thanos is going to look one, like take one look. Like Korg is going to be like, hey, who's this purple man, eh? Hey, bro, what's up with you? And then like Thanos just like looks at him for 2 seconds and just like bursts him apart into a billion pebbles.
Yeah. And then kills Flick too, just for good measure.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale, and then you can also follow this podcast at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHD Network. Be sure to, if you love the show, subscribe to us on iTunes and Podbean and Stitcher, and also leave a comment in the description below telling us how we're doing. Chris, Brandon, thanks for coming on. And hopefully we'll see you guys in a couple weeks when Justice League rolls around, or even sooner with Murder on the Orient Express.
I'm skipping that one. So.
Which one?
Murder on the Orient Express. I'm skipping that.
Okay. But Justice League, we're all going to see, right?
Yeah. Are we doing that thing though, where we review it in the car afterward? Like our first reactions, like
probably.
Okay. Let's do that.
We're doing a lot of test pilots on this channel lately. So we might as well do that as our other test pilot.
Cool.
All right.
I really don't want to see Justice League, guys.
It's a curiosity.
I watched the trailer. Like they showed the trailer in front of Thor, and I was just like, oh.
I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to see it either. But I want to see you watching it.
Yeah, three of us. We're gonna go see it together. Yeah,
that's. I'm just gonna stare at you the whole time. I'm not even gonna watch it.
Not gonna watch the movie. You're just gonna see me just go like changing expression every 5 seconds, like from bewilderment to confusion to anger to like,
I just want you to have an aneurysm again. Cause the reaction you had on Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
Was so funny.
The cover of the Blu-ray should say it was like cancer. That should be the front of the Blu-ray. The quotes they
it's
have.
It's like cancer.
By Chris Patton from The Youth Critic.
Yep.
It's like Justice League is like, it's not like cancer, but it's kind of like leukemia, I guess.
It's like survivable cancer. It's like stage one. That's what Justice League will be like. All right. That's enough cancer jokes for today.
Right now, Justice League. Can't wait.
All right. All right.
When is that? Is that seriously 2 weeks from now?
Well, less than that now.
Oh, God. That's coming up. Dang it.
In a week from now. Week from tonight. All right. All right. We'll see you guys later.
Join us next time to find out to see if the Justice League bleeds.
Yep. In 2 weeks, actually. We'll do the podcast in 2 weeks. All right. Bye.
Would you mind if I join you?
You're the world-famous detective, Hercule Poirot. Avenger of the innocent. Is that what they told you in the papers?
And you are innocent?
Huh. You're fun.